Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. This is our Pro Win special. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and we've got two lovely ladies in the studio with me today. We have Christy Ziegler with Shine Bright Kids, and we have Karen Brown Williams with the Williams Firm PC. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I love having you guys on. I always love doing the ProWin special. We love promoting ProWin and seeing the different members that are here. But Christy, tell us a little bit about your organization.
Well, thank you. Shine Bright Kids is a brand new book series from Ideals Children's Books that helps children learn to make better choices.
Okay. Well, I really like that, and that's great. How did you come up with that concept, or is this your concept? Or?
It is. So the story starts several years ago when I got involved with a financial literacy program for first and second graders. And working with them week after week and trying to teach basic money concepts like saving and budgeting, what occurred to me was that while that's very important, the bigger challenge was how do we get these children to think beyond the moment? Mm-hmm. How do we get them to start thinking about the future and just learn delayed gratification?
So you're doing this with first and second graders?
First and second graders.
Well, they say you can't ever start too early, but at that time I was just thinking about my next Power Ranger. So well, how do you really go into those concepts?
I think that's the point. It is early, and it's a principle that we all have to learn patience, and it's hard to know how to wait until you determine kind of what are the things that matter most to you. So it occurred to me, I've always loved reading. I have young children who love to read, that a children's book would be a great way to get the message across. So
okay.
The story of Can't Wait Willow was born.
Definitely. Well, tell us a little about your book then. So
Can't Wait Willow is the first book in the new Shine Bright Kids series, and it tells the tale of Willow on her journey to the much-anticipated circus. And unfortunately, she gets a little distracted along the way by some of her favorite treats and enticing activities. And she ends up missing out on the show because she runs out of time and money. But luckily for her, she gets a second chance and has to learn the lesson that sometimes we have to say no to good things to end up with the best things.
Okay. Well, that sounds really good. How did you come up with this concept and think that these kids need to learn these principles?
Well, again, all of us need to learn patience, I think, these days. I think it's something we all struggle with. We live in such an instant gratification consumer culture, and our children observe this from us, that you know, when we want something, we go out and get it. And it's hard for any of us to wait.
Well, I think there's some statistic that says kids, that the younger they are, the more they take in like 90% of what you say, do, all of that. How do you approach these kids? And I mean, lead by example, you pointed that out, but how do you get them to understand these concepts that even teenagers and young adults don't even understand in this generation?
Well, these are adult concepts. And actually, Karen and I were talking before the show and discussing that it is those first several years, and there's all kinds of research that supports this, that children's character is developed. And so we have an opportunity and a window of time when they're young to start instilling some of these values. In particular, in Can't Wait Willow and all the Shine Bright Kids stories, one of the ways that we've created some teachable moments is hide a star within the illustrations.
Okay.
So this little star shines bright when the character is making a good choice and staying on track, and the star looks a little bit sad or lackluster if maybe the character is getting off track. So it is a chance to talk with your child and say, hey, why is the star looking sad here? Ice cream's good. I love ice cream. And it's not that ice cream isn't good, but it's that Willow had ice cream instead of waiting for the things she wanted more.
Okay. Well, I love the way that you've done this with this book. It makes it easy. All kids love reading. I remember when I was a kid, I had my parents read to me, and they loved looking at the illustrations, which you have some very good illustrations I can tell from the cover of the book. So that it seems like a really good way to really introduce these kids to these concepts. And like you just said, that's a confusing concept to a kid. I love ice cream, but why is that a negative thing? So,
well, it's a message for all of us. And actually, the story starts with a grown-up message. And there's a quote from my uncle, Zig Ziglar, that says, sometimes you've got to say no to the good to save yes for the best. And that is the point here is, you know, how do we determine what are the things that matter most? So We won't be like Willow and get distracted from our goals and just settle for good, because all of us want the very best.
Okay, well, I would think that grown-ups can learn from this book, too, so it's got some really good concepts.
I know. I continue to learn from it every day.
Well, I do see that as a trend with children's movies, with everything. They're targeted towards adults also, so adults can gain things from them. So what's next? Are you going to write, is there more in this book series?
There is. So Can't Weigh Willow is out now, and the second book, Must Have Marvin, will be released next spring. So Marvin's lesson is he needs to learn that people matter more than things. He's a little bit of a gadget guy and always has to have the next cool thing. So he's going to have to learn that people do matter, and relationships are what makes our lives worth living.
Well, I love this. I love this book series idea. Are you going to have any kind of educational material that's going to go along? Any classes parents can take? Because raising kids, there's no manual for it, but there's so many different things. People are telling us, do this, do that. But I don't think anyone would argue with the concept that people should teach their kids these concepts that even we struggle with today.
Well, thank you for asking. So on our website, which is shinebrightkids.com, so www.shinebrightkids.com, we actually offer some free reward charts that you can download. There's some fun activities to do with your children, like make your own book. And there's a list of parenting resources that we find really helpful. So yes, check out the website for the latest. We also have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/ShineBrightKidCo, and are often posting just helpful article links and things that we think parents can use to talk about good choices every day.
So I didn't miss here. You said free information for parents, right?
I did. It's free. It's free.
So parents have no excuses not to go there and check it out.
That's right. It is good. And we're always looking for feedback and comments from families. What's working for them? You know, we really want to create a community where people can share, you know, what are these leadership principles that we're going ahead and, you know, passing down to the next generation and imparting this wisdom early to our own children.
Well, do you have any just tips for parents right now? I know it's so hard when your adorable child is, you're at Toys R Us and they want that extra piece of candy or something. They might be pitching a fit, but it's hard to say no to your kids. They're just so adorable. You love them. You want the best for them. So how do you go about saying no without feeling like a horrible person?
It's true. Well, it's hardest on the parent to enforce the consequence. There's no question. I think it's easier to just give them the whatever thing they're asking for a lot of times and then be done with it. But it's important to teach them these lessons that we don't get everything, that we all have limited resources. You know, whether it's our business lives, our personal lives, time and money, you know, there's not an infinite supply. Mm-hmm. So we do need to make these choices. And I think in your example of being at the store, give your child a choice. You know, let them determine, okay, you can have that little box of crackers or whatever it may be, but then you're not going to get to have dessert after dinner. And they have to decide if it's important to them to wait or not. And the inevitable next question is, well, what's for dessert? But then when they decide the crackers, you know, you got to stick to your guns as the parent. And, you know, when it comes dessert time, they don't get to have any.
I absolutely love that. You give the kids a choice and let them make decisions. So you're giving them a certain kind of responsibility at a young age so they'll actually understand that.
That's right. And I think reward charts are another great way to do that.
I always love getting my gold star.
That's right. Kids, they get it. And it gives, you know, even before young children understand money concepts, they do understand those stars or whatever the reward is. And we do that in our family. We actually have, we call them star charts, and there are some on the website that you can check out. But we assign values of 5 points, 10 points, 20 points. And the younger your child is, you know, start small and do something that's just that day. But as they've gotten older, you know, we've got goals that extend weeks and months ahead. And when we're out shopping and we see something that they have to have in the moment, I give them that choice and I say, well, is that worth 10 stars to you?
Okay.
And they'll have to think about, well, I don't know. Most of the time I've been proud of them that they're waiting for the 20-star reward. And so, again, it gives you a framework to start having those conversations about sacrifices, choices, and, you know, the different decisions that always have an end result.
So where does this information range from? Is there a certain target age range that it goes up to, or do you guys have different programs that sort of...
So the books are for kids ages 4 to 8, so that's pre-K to third grade. But again, I think it's a great teaching tool for lots of different age groups, and just to read with your children is such a precious moment and so important to do, and a great opportunity carved out of our very busy lives to have real conversations.
Definitely. I have a personal question. This always, I don't know how to answer this. My mom's a nanny, so she gets these all the time. Allowance. How do you deal with allowance when it comes to kids? It used to be $20 a week was good, but you can't even see a movie anymore for $20 or buy really anything for $20. How much should you give your kids? What should your kids do for the allowance? What's appropriate in this economy?
Well, I think what's appropriate depends on your child, you know, his or her age, their level of maturity, and then your family, because people feel very different about that. But I do think a real challenge of modern day parents is teaching the value of money, because our children don't see real money very often. We're in such a plastic culture.
Definitely.
You know, again, when we're out shopping, they see us needing something, and pulling out a
magic card
and getting it. And so there's a big disconnect for them in, you know, having all these things and then the back end adult responsibilities and hard work that is making that possible. So I think when appropriate, and again, maybe it starts with reward chart, so it's not just dollars and cents that they're earning, but it's, you know, a special trip with mom to the park or the choice of, you know, dinner entree or whatever it may be, a little art project. I mean, try to think of things that are rewards that are not just dollars and cents for younger kids. But as they do get older, assign them some tasks. And I'm a big believer that just because you're in our family, there are certain things you're doing and it's not allowance worthy.
Okay.
You know,
we all have
roles and responsibilities. So you're not going to get allowance if you make up your bed and put away your toys.
It's just what you're supposed to do.
That's right. But maybe, you know, we need to clean up the yard and there's something above and beyond. And that might be something where you could earn a little extra money.
I think I'm going to talk to my parents about doing this now at my age so I can earn gold stars and get to go out to nice restaurants that I can't afford. So, Christy, tell us your involvement with ProWin, how it's helped you, how it's benefited you.
Yes, ProWin has been such a positive force for me professionally and just personally with the relationships I've made. I've been a member since, I was trying to think before I came in here this morning, I think back to 2005. So it's been several years, and I actually served as the president several years ago, and I just have so many great women friends that I've made through the group. I've participated in many different networking business groups through the years, and I have to say what's unique about ProWin is the quality of the people and the authenticity of the relationships, that you walk into a lunch and it feels like you're in a family or a friend's house. It doesn't feel like you're just a business setting. And while I've made great business relationships that have encouraged me and been able to answer questions when I needed that, you know, special advice or guidance, it's really more about just the deep friendships and the quality of people who I know I'll be in touch with forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I absolutely love that. So my final question to you, how did it impact you having the famous Zig Ziglar as your uncle? We hear a quote from him or someone mentions him at least once a week here in the studio because we have prominent business people in here all the time. How did that affect you growing up? You learn a lot from him?
Well, he is such an inspirational person. There's no question. And was just an exceptional human being. You know, I think the biggest impact is just his commitment to helping so many people realize that we all have the power to make a personal change, that, you know, he believed if, you know, following his leadership principles of, again, hard work, integrity, perseverance, that works for everybody. It's not unique to just certain people who grew up a certain kind of way. And he, again, he was just so genuine and so passionate about helping so many people have positive changes in their lives that I'm in awe, honestly, and very humbled to share his last name.
Definitely. Well, he's still impacting people today, so.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, one more time, give us your contact information for Shine Bright Kids and where they can go out and get this book.
Thank you so much. So Can't Wait Willow. It's available at any online bookstore as well as local and independent bookstores in your community. That's Can't Wait Willow, and the website is shinebrightkids.com.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me.
How about relaxing while we visit with some of our other guests? We just got joined in the studio by Dr. Lenora Camille Austin with No Judgment Lenora, Inc. I didn't butcher that, did I?
No, you did not.
All right, good. I normally mess up at least one name when I'm here. At least everyone has pretty easy names today. But before that, we are going to visit with Karen Brown Williams with the Williams Firm. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
So tell us a little about that. You're an attorney. Tell us a little bit about your business and what you do.
Well, I'm an attorney. One of the areas that we practice in is family law, which is kind of interesting coming behind Can't Wait Willow.
We planned that totally. So
I love it.
But in any event, we help families restructure themselves, for lack of a better term.
Okay. So family law, go into that a little bit more for me. I've never really heard of that aspect of law.
Well, family law involves a variety of different disciplines. Most people, perhaps their contact comes by way of the word divorce, which everybody sort of goes, oh, that's not fun. There's some truth that it's a fairly difficult process. But family law also involves things like adoptions, which is a happy thing. It involves paternity, whether or not a child belongs to one family or another.
Okay.
It involves the support of children. It involves where should children live if their family decides to restructure. So it involves quite a number of things.
Well, I know that one thing we hear all the time here, and it's very important, is having in writing what happens to your kid if something happens to you, because you don't want a judge deciding where the kid's going to be while everything gets sorted out, really. Is that true?
Well, I think it comes in two different ways. One way where the courts will decide where a child should be is in the context of when the child's family is deciding to restructure itself. So that's one way that you will see it. You will also see it in what we call probate law. And we happen to practice probate litigation as well. And so where you have a situation where something happens to the child's parents, and then it becomes a matter of where is this child going to go. It's helpful, extremely helpful, if the parents have sort of provided a roadmap. But unfortunately, in these busy times, that often is one of the things that gets left to the, ooh, I'll do that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen. And then the courts are forced to figure out, where should this child go?
Definitely. Well, you don't want to be in that situation. You want your kid to go to the best person, if it's the uncle or the aunt. It all depends. But let's talk a little bit about you do divorce law, right?
I do.
Well, that's a complicated matter. No one wants to talk about it. No one thinks they're going to get divorced, and they don't understand the implications of it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about it. This might be a nitty-gritty subject, but what you should do to plan before you get married just in case this happens, just to have a contingency plan.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because one of the things that we are seeing in terms of trends are that more and more people are deciding in advance, okay, I know that not all marriages are successful. So in contemplation of the fact that I could be in the 50% of the population that has to deal with divorce, why don't I plan in advance? And those are called prenuptial agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing that more and more and more, and not just in the context of the first marriage. We also see them in the context of the second marriage because people learn from their experience. And so the second time around, as they say, is often a situation where we will see people that will engage in prenuptial agreements. The big thing is today people are getting married later.
Mm-hmm.
They have homes, they have 401ks, they have retirement plans, they have boats, they have all kinds of things. They have apps, which is one that we saw recently where the asset that was involved was an app.
Really?
And so they come to marriages with this stuff. And so what they like to do is to know, well, how do I know I'm going to get this stuff back if it doesn't work out? Well, a prenuptial agreement can help you to do that. It can say, hi, this is the stuff that if somehow I no longer love you, this is the stuff I want back.
Okay. Well, I think we need some definition, to change some definitions there, because marriage is very an emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
You meet someone, you fall in love, it's emotional, it's spiritual, but then you're basically going into business with them. You should ask yourself, what do you want to go into business with this person? Because you're putting all your assets with them and saying, all right, we're equally involved in this, and if it doesn't work out, then we're going to split up everything equally. But I think people should really ask themselves, would you go in business with this person? Because it's a huge financial decision, and people never even think about it. They go, oh, I'm in love with this person. Hormones are firing and everything. So
that's very true, that people do not look at marriage from the perspective of the rational. Many times they look at it from the perspective of the emotional. And so The problem is that if it doesn't work, the court system is designed to deal with the rational, mm-hmm. not the emotional. And I think that's a valid question. You know, if you fall in love with someone who spends money like it's a faucet and you are a person that is afraid to let go of a penny, might be a problem going forward. And so to the extent that people can realistically look at a situation and decide, you know, do we have the same values? Is this somebody that makes decisions the way that I do? But I think you're quite right. It's rare that we see that.
Well, is there any free educational material out there for people? Are there compatibility tests they can take before this? Is there a way they can sort of just sort of learn, like, oh, we both took this test, and I score on this this spectrum, and she's all the way over here, and we don't really work. Our finances aren't compatible.
Well, I don't know about any free test or compatibility test. I can tell you that information about things that you have to consider, you can find that on our website. Mm-hmm. Our website is www.brownwilliamspc.com. And there we walk through a number of different issues that people find in family law. In terms of whether or not you're compatible, there are a lot of other organizations that you may want to talk to. We don't get involved in making sure that people are compatible.
Well, definitely.
What we do say is, I don't know whether you're compatible or not, but here are some things that you might want to consider before you decide to tie the knot.
Well, you have the resources for that. So people need to come talk to you about that before they do that.
They do.
They need to make a Shine Bright Adults picture book for this to teach us with a negative happy star.
Maybe we should do a
Choose Right, Shine Bright.
We'll have to come up with a book for that.
I absolutely love that. So let's talk about, you also say you guys deal with adoption, right?
Yes, we do.
Well, that is really complicated. I don't think people realize how complicated it is. You don't go through and say, oh, I want a kid, I can't have a kid, so let's go pick one up down at the supermarket.
No, it doesn't work that way. And I think that there have been a number of cases recently that have really given the public an idea of how difficult adoptions mm-hmm. can be. I think the most recent case is a child that had been with a set of adoptive parents and was removed, and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
So when you're talking about adoptions, there are a number of different situations that come into play. Some of them, the typical situation that people think about is where you've got a couple that wants to adopt the child of, say, a single parent, mm-hmm. young mother. And that it does occur. But you can also get situations where we have adoptions where you have perhaps someone who's had a child outside of their marriage. And so now we need to talk about whether or not the step-parent should adopt the child. There are all kinds of mm-hmm. combinations. Recently, I did a talk with family lawyers within the state of Georgia and some of the judges in the state of Georgia about some of the new family combinations that we have and what are the results and the possible outcomes with regard to the placement of children. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that's also interesting about adoption is that we have a lot of international adoptions. Mm-hmm. And when you start talking about adopting children that are not U.S. citizens, now you have major complications depending upon the country that you choose to adopt your child from. And so different countries have different provisions. Some countries are very restrictive because their children have historically been bought and sold. And
wow.
So they make it much tougher for you to adopt a child legitimately out of that country.
Well, I think that's a really good thing. That's a problem people don't talk about, but that is
children
being sold and trafficked. It's actually a big problem in the United States.
It's a very big problem. It's a very big problem. So what you want to do is make sure that if you're thinking about an adoption, that you make sure that you get in touch with a family law attorney that you're comfortable with and has a pretty broad range of knowledge on the issue of adoptions.
And knows as much as that you do, obviously, about that. So you want to deal with someone that's been through the process and can deal with that. Something that I've heard, I don't know if it's true, mm-hmm. but it sort of set off a warning signal with me, is that a lot of people are having, you said, like international adoptions, and they think, well, I'm helping this country with this, but they don't realize we have a lot of kids here in the United States that it's a great country, but they need adoptions here. We need more local adoptions, and people are going out to different countries. Is that true?
There are a number of children within the United States that are looking for homes. I also happen to practice in the juvenile court system, and it is astonishing the number of children that either something has happened to their parents, or alternatively, they have parents that may have psychological issues, may have drug issues, may have a number of different reasons why they can no longer parent. And these kids desperately want homes.
Yeah,
they
definitely
really do. I've never met a child that doesn't want to have a mom and dad like everybody else. And so there are a number of agencies that they can contact if someone is interested in adopting. They can look at home first.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are kids. They just want to be loved. That's it.
Definitely. Can you talk about some benefits? Because I know everyone wants to have the newborn baby and adopt that. But talk about the benefits of having the older kids also. Because there's a lot of benefits of adopting a kid that's a little bit older.
Well, there are children that are older. Those children often are really in need of and really desire a home. And many times they will do just about anything to have a home. Some of them come with different issues.
Yeah.
Some of them have been through multiple foster care homes. I think the way that it was put to me, in a way that made me understand, is we were about to go out and do something for Christmas. And a friend of mine who does a lot of work in the foster care system, I was like, oh, let's buy this. She said, Karen, they have a bag, a book bag, and everything that they own has to go in that book bag because they transfer from home to home. And so think about a kid that has to do that and has done that several times. It is very important that people broaden their horizons about what child they're willing to take a look at.
Definitely.
Because there are a variety of different types of children, and they bring all kinds of benefits.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone, you can't argue. Everyone loves children. Children are great, and, you know, there might be more difficult ones than others, but if people want to make a difference and really you'll change someone's life, or you're going to put them through this system that's going to make them end up being very jaded when it comes to life, so people can actually make a difference. Well, you also do child custody is the other thing that you do in your law firm. Now that's really nitty gritty. I come from a broken home, and my parents did it weird. They were friends, and they got along, and they celebrated each other's birthdays for me. So I was the odd person. But there's different trends and things. How does that work? And that's the most. Again, people love their kids. Everyone wants to be that person. How do you guys deal with that?
Well, the test for the courts is the best interest of the child. The problem is that everybody's got a different version of best interest. And so what you do want to, as a parent, think about is look at it from your child's perspective. For a lot of judges in town, I serve as what's called a guardian ad litem. And my job is to look at the case not from the parent's perspective, but from the child's perspective. And if you look at the case from the child's perspective, as a parent, it's very different.
Yeah, definitely.
Most kids, you might hate the other parent, but that child doesn't. You might not ever want to see that person, but that child probably wants to see them.
Definitely.
And kids will tell each parent what they think they want to hear. They want to make them happy.
Exactly.
And so you will oftentimes, you know, a child will say, well, I want to live here. And then they'll go to the other parent and say, I want to live here. And you go, what? But what's really happening is the child is saying, I really want you both.
Yeah.
And I know I can't have you both, so I don't know what to do.
Well, I don't think a kid can really realize that concept that they can't choose between their parents. They love both of them. And it's not fair for the child, really.
No, it's not. And so if parents can sort of step away from the hurt and pain that they're going through and look at it from this perspective of I'm 7 years old or I'm 14 years old and how does this look to me? They will tend to make better decisions.
Well, do you also do counseling with the parents and sort of help them understand that perspective from the child's perspective?
Yeah, we do. Although I always say thank goodness for psychologists because I can actually they actually know what to do. but a good portion of our job is getting people to move from what they feel to what's really in the child's best interest. And so we do a lot of counseling and helping people to understand that while you may see it this way, the decision makers are going to see it another way. And so this type of behavior is acceptable and this type of behavior is not.
Well, I like how you pointed that out. We talked about it early in the show. Kids, especially at young age, they absorb absolutely everything. And
they
I
do.
Know a thing that I've seen, which is a common mistake, yes, you're hurt, you broke up with somebody, you divorced them, and you're going to be arguing with them. But portraying those negative feelings to the kid, saying, oh, well, she did this or he did this, is a horrible person, that kid, that's going to really affect them long term. And when they're older, they're going to have probably relationship issues, and that's going to really affect your kid. So
that's absolutely true. So. And all the data that we've seen it supports that.
So parents just need to realize that you, even though you have all these feelings, don't portray them to your kid, because you don't want to give your kid problems and you don't realize that this is going to affect them for the rest of their life.
Well, I think the thing that parents need to realize is this. Yes, you don't like this person anymore, but you're still going to be a parent, which means you're kind of hooked to this person for the rest of the child's life.
People just don't realize that when they're about to have kids, too. It frustrates me to no end. They're like, oh, this is so great. It's like a new puppy. No, it's not at all.
No. And divorce doesn't mean that you're no longer a parent. Mm-hmm. And you've got graduations and you've got weddings and you've got college, you know, taking a kid off to college, and you've got grandchildren, you are pretty much going to be involved with this person
the rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Well, that's big. Well, Todd, you're a new member to ProWin, right?
I am.
Can you give us just a perspective? As we had a veteran member on as a new member. What you've really seen from the organization?
Well, the thing that got me into ProWin, the person that invited me, I thought a lot of. She's a very smart businesswoman. She was very articulate. She knew her business. And I thought, if she thinks this is a good idea, maybe I need to go take a look. And I have found that to be true of the women that I've met. They're very friendly, and they are very personable. But most important, they're very serious about the business that they're in. And the other thing that I found that is pretty interesting is that most of them, that the women that I have met, are interested in making a difference and making the world a better place through what they do. And you don't see that all the time.
So. Not at all. I was lucky enough. I had two great moms growing up, a stepmom and a real mom. They both had their own business, so I got to watch that. And I'm a little jealous because I'm not a woman, so I can't join ProWin. But I know you guys have so much great advice, and there's so many great leaders out there. And just it's no ego. The one thing I've noticed about women leaders and women business owners, and I bet you guys have too, is that you guys collaborate. Where guys are like, well, my ego, I'm better than you, I'm going to walk over you. You go, well, how can I help grow your business? And it's a really inspiring thing to me. So it's probably really cool to be able to sit down at lunch and get to hear from that, or just talk to different people and learn tricks of the trade and think ways to avoid different things.
And I think when you have a group of women, you're dealing not with just your knowledge base, but the knowledge base of all the other women in the room, and everybody has a good idea, and you can learn from that idea.
And I love that right there. Well, talk about how people can reach out to you, learn more, because you're obviously very knowledgeable about what you do, and this is muddy waters. People can't do this on their own. If they think they can, there's just so much legal jargon and different things that just you don't want to go through this process on your own.
It's not generally advisable. So people can get in touch with me through our website, www.brownwilliamspc.com. Shoot us a note, and we'll be happy to answer your question.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
Well, last up, we have Dr. Lenora Camille Austin with No Judgment Lenora, Inc. Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about your company and what you guys do.
No Judgments, Leonora. It is an up-and-coming business because I'm still in corporate.
Okay.
So I'm transitioning from corporate to doing this full-time. But I'm a Christian counselor, and I've just recently got a certification as a health coach, which was awesome because I had health challenges. So my goal, just like these ladies, focus it on family and children. And I counsel people. And I also counsel them in health. I've counseled one person who had AIDS.
Wow.
And he was literally dying. They gave up on him. But through my advice and counsel and prayer, because I can't eliminate prayer, he's doing well.
Well, honestly, I've seen this so much, and I mean, you've seen it through studies with the placebo effect. The mind is very powerful.
Yes, it is.
And if a doctor says, oh, well, you're not, you can't live, you're not going to live, well, people get really negative, and you'll see them die within months. But if people are positive and saying, don't give up, live life to the fullest, they're healthier, they're better.
It is. And see, in mine, my Christian counsel, I'm board certified in family and marriage therapy, so it's interesting to hear these two beautiful women. I said, okay, you know, well, and it's, to me, the goal is to get the family healthy before they get married and before they decide to get a divorce.
I think that's very important. I want to hear from you because you're going through an interesting transition. We love that here. As you're going from the corporate to the entrepreneurial way, owning my own business, why did you want to do that, and how's that process been for you?
This has been a long journey, a very, 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 very long journey. I did not know that I was going to take this route. I say it's a call, you know.
Definitely.
And when you see mass incarceration and you see these children don't have parents and you see what the family are struggling with because they don't have the skills to take care of the kids, and then sometimes you are the solution. And so what my goal is, I'm in a PhD program, business and international business administration.
Okay.
And I should be finished next year. But my goal is to build a home for these children and work with the government and work with lawyers and whoever else that we can help these children. And before the parents can come back and get their children, they're going to have to go through training because some of them don't know how to be parents.
Oh, definitely. And like you said, so the listeners don't misunderstand, when she says kids that don't have parents, some of these kids have parents that are there. They're just not present.
That's true.
And they're not involved, and they see their kids as a chore, which was horrible, but it happens all the time. And a lot of people, they don't realize this. They sort of have their blinders on and they think, well, this is my life. My life's going good, but this is happening.
And
we need to be aware of it and help it. And you'll see it with your children's friends. You might see that, and you just have to keep an open eye and look out what's best for the children.
That is true.
Definitely. So, what's your main overall objective of your end goal for this company?
My end goal is to make people better, to help them to heal emotionally, spiritually, as well as physically. You know, and I think that once people have a new mindset or a transformed mindset, they will do better. But they need encouragement. But you have so many people who just don't have the resources. They don't have access to resources. Some of them don't even know that they exist.
Definitely.
And so what I want to do is to group with other people to help them.
Well, where are you in that process of, and I know starting a new business is scary, tough, of getting the word out about that, obviously, except for being on our awesome radio show. How are you going about getting the word out? And I have to believe that a lot of it is word-of-mouth referrals because you do such a great job and that passes on. But what else are you doing to get people this information?
This is a stretch. Being on this radio, it just popped up. Usually it's by word of mouth because I'm so busy. I'm so busy, but it doesn't stop people from contacting me. But joining ProWin to get the word out, meeting with other people. But it's primarily, so far, it has been word of mouth.
How are you tackling this challenging issue? And I found this. Like I said, my mom's a nanny, and I've seen this with I helped raise my nephews. How do you tackle this where you see there's a problem, but kids are kids, they don't have rights, they can't come run, and the parents are, you're like, well, your kid might need to go to counseling, and the parents, no, there's nothing wrong with my kid, or it's hard to tackle that because the parents have all this control. Are you partnering with schools, or how are you really getting to that, to the main issue?
I will. Not right now, but I will.
I will
partner with school.
Well, definitely. You have a good plan. So.
Yes, I do. I just have to work it.
Awesome. So how important is community involvement in all this that you're
community
doing?
Community involvement is essential because I do believe in an African proverb that it takes a village to raise a child.
It really does.
And I really do believe that because when I grew up, it was like that, where
you actually knew your neighbor's
neighborhood couldn't come and, you know, handle business with me.
Yeah.
And my mother will concur with it, you know, and I think we have to go through that. The neighborhood I just moved through is similar to that.
That's
where
good.
Everyone is involved.
I think we're getting back to that aspect. Mm-hmm. When I was growing up, it was moving away from that, where you didn't know who your neighbor was, mm-hmm. or if you could trust it, and you weren't supposed to talk to anybody, and there wasn't that community. So Dr. Johnson down the road, if I did something wrong, like knocked over someone's mailbox, he couldn't come up to my parents, and they didn't have a relationship. But that is really important, to have a healthy community relationship where everyone's helping each other. And I think we've gone away from that. We think the government's supposed to help us out and do this, where before it used to be, it's the local church. If we had a problem with someone that was homeless or lost their job, the church is like, oh, well, we all know this person. Let's help them out. They're going through a rough time. And I think we're heading back for that. And I think it is really important, like you said.
We are heading back to that. As a matter of fact, the church that I go to, that we do that. We try to do that.
Definitely. Well, I think that your goal and what you're trying to do is really important, and it's going to really make a difference in a lot of people's lives.
Yes.
So what's the next step on your process, and how can we help you out right here at Business Radio X, help you with that?
It's just get the word out. And I'm also an author.
Okay.
So usually what I do, too, is I use books, especially with children.
Mm-hmm.
They read a story, and then they can discuss things more easily and tell you what's going on with their lives.
Well, yes. Tell us about those books. Get those out there so people can.
I got the Adventures of Emmanuel, which is a children's series. And what it does, it's a book that got children from different racial background mm-hmm. coming together to change lives, to change their communities, to change the attitudes of things that people thought about
their
past. Exactly. Yeah. And so they come together and show people that it can be done.
I love that.
You know, okay. And I got one that's really, I have four books, but one of them is a children's series.
All right. Well, how do our listeners reach out, get a hold of you to get all this information, and where can they get these books for their kids?
The books is on Amazon.
All right.
And they can reach out with me. My website is www.no-judgments.leonora.org.
And how do you spell Leonora, just for our listeners?
It's Leonora.
All right. Good stuff. Okay. Well, talk a little bit about ProWin before we close up here.
Oh, ProWin is a great organization. I work at IBM. And,
okay.
And they had some type of program where they introduced the conference. They was telling us about a conference. And so I read up on it and then decided to join it. But just like the attorney Karen said, it's a wonderful organization where people, they're so comfortable with themselves. They know who they are, which makes a difference. So they're, when everybody is combined and all these different skill sets, it's a wonderful thing. I'm learning a lot from them.
Awesome. And do any of you ladies have the ProWin website? Is it www.prowin.com?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Look at that. Look at that. Yes. I got that. That was a guess. So. Well, thank you guys all for being on the show. It was great learning from all of you, and I think it was great information for all the listeners. And we can't wait to have our next month's ProWin special. So.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is Kevin Finn for all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Business Radio.